Welcome to the Messy Walk Podcast with Pastor Adam Cook, where our goal is to have a genuine and authentic conversation about the Christian faith journey and what a messy walk with Jesus really looks like. Make sure to follow us for future episodes that will be posted regularly each Wednesday. We hope you enjoy this episode.
Hey, welcome to the Messy Walk Podcast. I'm your host, Steph, here at Pastor Adam.
Hey, hey, everybody.
Hey, hey.
Hope you're doing good and all that jazz. I don't know what time it is or day it is when you hear this, but
yes,
hope you are.
We hope you're well.
Yeah, we're recording. It's about, if you want to get a figure out what we're doing, it's a 7:20 at night on a Monday night.
And we're
recording. So it is Monday, ain't it?
It is Monday.
It is, yeah. Yeah. So we're back.
Yeah, we're back. We're also hungry again.
I'm sure it'll end up being an outtakes, but we just ended up talking through hot dogs and bologna.
Yes.
And chilling with our homies a few minutes ago.
We did talk about that.
And greens, potatoes, tomatoes.
We did talk about that as well.
We talked about that. So we're already Thanksgiving talking over here. But anyway, yes. We're back in week two of our new series. What, Steph?
Reasons You Don't Share the Gospel.
Reasons You Don't Share the Gospel. We're going through reasons why you may not be a person who shares the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been doing a lot of reading and study on this over the last several months. And most of the polls and surveys say the same thing. And so last week we talked about the number one reason that people don't share the gospel is out of fear. People being afraid for various reasons. That's why they don't share it. And so maybe that's you. And this is the second reason. I find this interesting that this is the second reason. At least in this particular poll that we've been paying attention to. But here's another top reason why you may not be sharing the gospel. You may not be sharing the gospel because you feel like you don't have opportunities to do so, right? So the first one was I'm scared, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm fearful. I don't want this to happen. I'm scared of this happening. I'm scared of doing this. And this second one is that you feel like you believe that you don't have opportunities to actually share the gospel. Where is this root from? I think it's not that you don't have any opportunities, but lots of people feel like that this particular ideal moment doesn't ever present itself, right? Like it might happen, it might be there, but the ideal perfect moment is just not there. Now, maybe the reason you feel this way, that the ideal moment doesn't pop up, is because of some physical hardships or mental hardships that make you keep you stuck at home, like you can't get out of the house and you don't really interact with other people. So maybe that's the case, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, but that's going to be a very minimum amount of people, right? So there are people who are stuck in the home or stuck in the house or wherever they may be. They may be in some sort of facility and they love Jesus, but they don't ever see nobody else that don't know Christ or they don't interact with a lot of people. And so they don't get those opportunities to share Jesus, which also is not fully accurate because you can still share the gospel with the people you do interact with. But maybe that's the case. You don't interact with a lot of people. But for most people, we are interacting with others all the time, but we don't think to ourselves, like we think to ourselves, like the circumstances never just seem or feel right, right?
Yeah.
So it's not like the moment doesn't exist. It's us going, well, it just didn't feel like the right time. It just didn't feel like the right moment to say something or to share this or to ask these questions or to pray with somebody or whatever it is. You know, it just didn't feel like the right time. And I'm sure there's some reasons, legitimate reasons, where this limits your opportunity. But really, this is an issue with expectations. People are usually, and maybe this is you, if this is your reason, like I don't really have an opportunity, people are really usually hoping for a clear signal that some moment is the perfect moment, right? Like this is the time and it's all set up all perfectly and everything's just going to go like you want it to go. You're expecting a sort of feeling that you'll get a vibe or some sort of inner peace when the time is exactly right. Or you're waiting on somebody to say, like the tone's been set, and you're waiting on somebody specifically to ask you, hey, could you tell me more about what you believe? You know, hey, could you tell me more about Jesus, right? Hey, could you tell me why you believe what you believe or, you know, whatever. You're waiting for that moment. Those moments do happen sometimes, but not that frequently, right? Like most of the time, you are not going to enter into a moment where you feel like everything's aligned and this is the perfect moment and everything is set up perfectly and this is my time to share the gospel with this person.
Yeah.
And also, the amount of people coming up to you and asking you at some point in time, can you share your faith with me? I don't think that happens that often. I don't think that's like the most common thing. It's not that frequent. Like sharing your faith, sharing the gospel is a skill that requires some trial and error.
Yes.
It requires some fine tuning. It requires some practice. It's something you have to fine tune, right? You got to, like, it's trial and error. It's not going to be a perfect moment. It's going to be you doing it in some imperfect times and some not perfect times and going, all right, well, that didn't work that well. What can I learn from this? Like, it is you and I actively sharing our faith. It is a skill,
mm-hmm.
right? It is something we work on over time. We grow on it. We get better at doing it. We get more confident in when we do that too. So it's not just we get better, but as we share more and more, if you have more and more interactions, then you're not looking for some perfect moment. You're going, I'll just take whatever moment I can get, and I'm going to try. I'm just going to share the gospel the best I can, right? This idea that I don't have any opportunities to do so, I think is mostly coming from you have the wrong expectations of what those opportunities look like, right? You are feeling like I don't have opportunities. This never comes up. And you have the wrong expectation. You're expecting some perfect moment where it's going to come up
mm-hmm.
instead of some moment that it ain't perfect. That's kind of jacked, like we talked about on the last episode, that's kind of messed up, that's doesn't have it all right, you know, that and you might have to initiate in a position where it doesn't feel like it's the perfect moment. And those are the moments where it actually happens. Like it sharing your faith is a skill. Sharing the gospel is a skill. And all skills require fine-tuning, right?
Yeah.
Like you talking and sharing specifically. We're talking specifically, you know, you speaking this stuff. Not just living the gospel. We're talking about you actually speaking it to people as well. That requires you to practice. That requires you to get better at it. Like it's just like anything else you do. It's a skill. And you got to hone it. You got to fine-tune it. You can learn to recognize, seize, or even create opportunities. So let's talk about this for a minute. For one of the things you do to fine-tune this skill is you got to learn to recognize opportunities. Recognize when there's a good moment for you to say something or for you to open some door and you know, realize, okay, this is a good moment for me to share this. This is a good, you know, that's something you got to hone. You don't know that all the time. You got to work through that. You got to practice that. It's trial and error. Like you have to sit down and be able to say, I'm getting better at recognizing when is a good time to steer the conversation towards things of the Lord.
Right? Yes.
Like, you know, here's a good, so you start to get skills where you could recognize good moments. And so the more you do this and more you practice, not looking for the perfect moments, but looking for these moments, you begin to recognize, well, I have found that, and I'm just saying this, I'm just sharing, this may not be the case, but you'll see I've found that in the morning times, that it's much easier to sort of talk about certain things and recognize those moments than what evening time moments look like or lunchtime moments.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe you find that during your workday, people tend to be happier through the end of the week, right?
That's for sure.
And so they're much more open to having a little lingering of a conversation with you because they already want to get out of work. They're already ready to go home on Friday. They're mm-hmm. in a little bit better mood because the week's over with. And they also trying to kill a little time. They're trying to linger a little bit in your yeah. office. You know what I'm saying? And so maybe, or wherever it may be, maybe you'd be like, they're in a good mood. You start to recognize. See what I'm saying? It's a skill where you begin to recognize this is a good time.
Yeah.
This is a good time to steer the conversation, to turn the conversation to the things of the Lord. That's the first thing you begin to hone as you begin to recognize it. You also can learn how to seize these opportunities. When you see them, learn how to grab them, right? So you begin to recognize these moments, and then it's all right, well, how do I seize it? How do I grab and turn the conversation to the things of the Lord, right? And you begin to realize that there's certain things that you can work through. So I'll give you one. Here's I think, one of the best ways to do this. And you got to work this. You got to practice it, right? And you're going to fumble through it a lot. And you'll get better at it, is when you hear somebody say something, anything at all that sounds like it's painful or hurtful for them, you ask them, hey, is it okay if I pray with you about this, right? And if you're scared of doing that, you ask them, can I pray for you, right? You mind if I pray for you? You know, and you can do it this way. Do you ease into it? So if you get scared, you're like, oh my gosh, Adam, you're telling me to pray with this person right there on the spot. No, ease into it. Practice yourself.
Yeah.
Say, do you mind if I add you to my prayer list?
Oh, that's right? Good.
Then you're not praying in a moment. There's no expectation, but you have now shifted the conversation to the things of the Lord. They now know you're a person of prayer, right?
Yes.
And now you've turned it. You will be shocked how many times you can recognize this moment and you can grab it by just turning it towards prayer. Is by you're serving them, right? You're saying, "How can I serve you in this way? I believe in God." You're saying that by you saying prayer. So, can I just pray for you? And so, if you know, where you want to get is as you practice this, as you work on it, you want to be able to grab these opportunities and pray with them right there in person, right? But if you can't get there, you just practice and get there a little bit slower. And you go, hey, do you mind if I add you to my prayer list at church? Right? And now all of a sudden, by the way, I have done this a million times. And I have never had anybody tell me no. Right?
Yeah.
So this idea that like the fear we talked about last week, that you're going to be rejected, I've never had anybody tell me no. Mm-hmm. If I've asked somebody, hey, do you mind if I, you know, is it okay if I add you to the prayer list? You know, nobody's ever said no. Even people who don't believe in God at all, right? They think this Jesus thing is crazy. None of them say no. So if you be able to recognize there's a moment right here and you can turn it towards prayer, start off with saying, can I add you to the prayer list? And what you really want to get to is, hey, is there anything I can pray for you about? Anything going on in your life, you know?
Yeah.
And you'd be surprised how often people be like, well, yeah, there actually is. And they share something with you. And now you've steered the conversation, right? So you recognize and then you seize those opportunities. And then as you continue to do this, the next thing you do is you begin to create them. Like you can actually create these moments. You're not just recognizing the right times and grabbing them, but you can learn over time how to actually create a moment, how to walk in and not be based on what the person's sharing with you. But all of a sudden you realize I could create right now in this moment. I could share my story. It would fit good. I could share a piece of my story. I could be vulnerable right now, and I think it would lead to being able to steer this conversation to the things of God.
Yeah.
And I'm going to create this moment right here. It's a perfect moment. This might be a right teaching moment. You know, you begin to create the moment. Something happens at work, and you're like, I think I could make this a moment where I could turn this conversation to the things of the Lord, steer it this direction. And so you through trial and error, it's not waiting for the perfect moment, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
Right? These perfect moments where somebody comes along at right just the right time and you get this inner peace feeling that, oh my goodness, God's about to do something. You know what I mean? I'm not mocking it. Those things are real.
Yeah.
I'm saying you get this feeling and then that person says to you, you know, can you tell me about Jesus? Those moments don't happen that often. Right? But these other moments happen all the time.
Yeah.
Right. And you got to be able to sort of, you know, figure this out and use anything, any moment, any time. And that takes practice is what I'm saying. Right. So the best way for you to get better at doing this is to actually do it. The best way for you to be able to lay down this excuse why you don't share the gospel, that there aren't moments and opportunities to do so, is to help see the moments and create some if you have to. Right.
Yeah.
And that takes a lot of practice. But there's a little more to it than this. So that's very practical. Right. There's a little more to it than this. It's also a skill that you develop specifically through prayer, right? So there are natural skills that you and I hone, right? If you want to be a better baseball player, you're going to have to work on the skill of hitting the ball and catching the ball, right? And you're going to have to practice it over and over and over again. And you're going to have to repeat it in game-style situations. And you're going to have to do it at practice, right? And you're going to have to consistently do that. It's a skill you hone.
Yeah.
This piece of being able to recognize opportunities to inject Jesus into the situation, it's not just a skill you develop through working it, right? It's a skill you also develop through prayer. For example, this exact same thing with preaching and teaching the gospel. Teaching and preaching is a skill that I can hone,
mm-hmm.
right? I can hone outline creation, how to capture the audience, how to make certain points, when to linger, when to not, right? How to speak concisely, how to direct the audience appropriately. You know what I mean? I can work on all those things. I can hone that skill. But preaching's also a skill that you hone through prayer.
Yeah.
Right? It's not just me being a better public speaker.
Mm.
It's also me being desperate in prayer to the Lord and consistently asking God to help me with this, right? To take this, to do this, to speak through me. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that makes the difference.
So it's not just a skill. And so this concept of evangelism and sharing the gospel, it's not just a skill you get through practice. It's also a skill you get through prayer, right? It's also the Lord working through you. And the more you and I humble ourselves at his feet in prayer and ask him for these things, give me these moments, right? If right now, if you feel like you don't share your faith because you don't really have any opportunities to do so, I'd say two things to you. The first one would be there's plenty of opportunities. You're waiting for the perfect one.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one would be, so practice, try, right? And hone that skill. Get good at sharing your story. Get real good at sharing your story. Like, you should have a 5-minute version of your story, your testimony, and you should have a 30-minute version, right? You should have a version where you can share very concisely in a short setting. And then you should also have one that's a long one, where you're sitting up with a conversation with somebody, you know, where you're hanging on the couch for hours and hours and you're able to share the actual long, full story. You got to practice that. So I'd say practice it. But I'd also say beg the Lord for the opportunities. Beg God for you to be able to see them, recognize them, and create them if you have to.
Yeah.
It's as a skill you also gain through prayer. It's through you and I bequesting the Lord to grant us these moments and these abilities to be able to speak and steer conversations towards him, and him answering those prayers and giving you those moments, right? It's amazing to me that you can hone a skill in the Lord like this, not just through practice, but also through prayer, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, evangelism is a skill that you hone not just through practice, but also through prayer. Let me show you this scripture. Steph, this is from Colossians chapter 4, 2 through 6. You see this happening specifically in this scripture.
Okay. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful, and pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone.
This is a great, this is a request from Paul back to the people at Colossians, where he's basically saying, hey, look, pray that we get opportunities to share the gospel. Like, mm-hmm. we want to pray, we're praying for this. And then pray that we can share it clearly.
Mm-hmm.
That people actually hear it, right? Like, this is not just him working on his oratory skills, right?
Yeah.
This is him saying, pray for these opportunities to be here. Pray that we can say it clearly. Pray that people hear it. And then he turns it back to them and is like, you know, be prepared for these things, right? Work on them. That verse combines the practicing that I was talking about with the prayer altogether. But you'll notice, like, they're sitting around, he's praying for these moments to have. Ask God to open these doors and these conversations, and ask God to help you develop this skill so that you can speak it clearly, you can speak it concisely. And one of the ways you start here is you start working on that 5-minute and that 30-minute testimony of your story in Jesus, right? You ought to be able to share it quick, and you ought to be able to share it long. Start working on it now. And yes, hone that. Practice it. Literally practice it like you would a presentation at work. Practice it.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, bathe this bad boy in prayer. Right? Pray and ask for other people to help you pray about it. That's what Paul's doing. Pray and ask. Lord, help me have these moments. If you want to look at the prayer, this is the way I'd say it. God, help me recognize these opportunities. Help me seize these opportunities and help me create them. Right? All three. Help me do that. Put me in a position today at work, tomorrow at work, where there is a time and a spot that's clear to me where I can turn the conversation to the things about you, right? Where I might be able to share my story, where I might be able to ask somebody if they need prayer.
Yeah.
And just ask for it. Like, this is not just a skill honed by practice. It's a skill honed by patient prayerfulness, right? We're gonna ask the Lord. We're going to pray and we're going to ask him, and we're going to be patient and trust that he is going to provide those opportunities. The concept of there aren't any opportunities to share the gospel in your life is most of the time a very big excuse. There is. Maybe, though, you don't realize it. You just need to be you just need to realize that you're not looking for the perfect moment. I've only had a few moments my whole life in one-on-one situations where somebody said, can you tell me about Jesus? It's hardly ever, right? Mm-hmm. The conversation may go there, but it's not just straightforward, this perfect moment. And you know, I'm telling you another thing, Steph. Rarely have I ever felt some sort of inner peace, calm. This is the perfect moment from God to share this, right? Even if it was the perfect moment, I didn't feel that inner peace because I'm not a person who usually, I'm usually kind of anxiety and all over the place anyway. So I didn't think about it like that. So if that's the reason you're not sharing the gospel, really begin to realize that you're not getting the perfect moment. Look for the moments you can get and practice this skill and pray for God to increase this and help you see the moments and help you speak clearly. And then it's all up to him. If you fumble it, oh well, right? It's still him that's going to draw them to it, like we said last
episode.
So that's all I got, Steph.
Well, I loved it. I'm grateful for it.
We'll have a few more. We'll get into them, but these two, 217 and 218, were the top ones.
Yeah. This one right here makes me reflect on how I seize those opportunities in my day-to-day walk. So I know that someone will definitely take this to heart and apply it. So
the hardest thing is to, I think mm-hmm. that the hardest thing is to actually recognize them, mm-hmm. right? It's to walk through the day and go, I want to see things like God sees them. I want to see people like God sees them. Eric, I want to be in the moment and I want to think purposefully.
Yeah.
And so then you recognize stuff. And when you recognize it, it's a whole lot easier than to actually seize it and grab the moment.
Yeah.
Right? I think that is the hardest part, is to be able to recognize, to get outside of yourself enough to be like, you know, my day today is not about getting through my work day.
Right.
Right? I'm going to do my job to the best of my ability. But I'm here and I'm going to do my job to the best of my ability because God has me on a mission to make disciples wherever I go.
True.
Right? And so, you know, if you think like that, which is very hard to do, right? Because we get so inwardly focused on ourselves so easily. Me too. I mean, I do this even at church, right? Mm-hmm. You know, like I'm a pastor and I come in and get caught up in myself the whole day. But if you go into it and you go, that's my purpose today. My purpose today is to do God's will.
Yeah.
And then you can actually recognize these moments. And I think once you recognize them, it's much easier to actually grab them and do something with them. It's the recognition.
Know.
There you go. That's the hard part.
Yeah.
That's the difficult part.
But like you said, like just the simple, can I add you to my prayer list? That is so easy to do.
Changes
and
everything.
Honestly, you've probably done it already, whoever's listening. You probably done it, didn't even realize you were seizing the opportunity.
Yep. And that's exactly what it does.
That's beautiful.
That right there is so easy to turn it, mm-hmm. right? To turn that conversation. You never know where that conversation is going next. And if you hang close... Here's another little tidbit. If you hang close to the person's hurts in those conversations, you are in a really good spot to share and show Jesus. If you hang close to their hurts. If they start talking to you about what they need to pray about, they start talking about what's broken in their marriage, what's broken with their kids, their fears and what they're worrying about, what happened to their mom, the diagnosis they got, you know, they're worried about the car just broke down. If you hang tight to, man, I know that sucks. I'm sorry that happened, right? That must be tough. And you start to hang to, I know how that feels. I had this happen. And, you know, I'm praying for you on that. And you know, God's got you and mm-hmm. Jesus loves you. And, you know, if you hang tight to the hurt, a whole lot easier to bring Jesus up.
Yeah.
Right? So that's another way to kind of recognize it. But, and unfortunately, that's what I did today. So mm-hmm. It was a tough day. If you hang tight to people's hurts, it's easy to share Jesus.
Yeah.
Because he's the only answer you got.
True.
You know? Anyway, sorry, I got a little teary. My bad. I'm back. Let's say something stupid so I can get distracted.
You name it.
I was thinking the same thing. Good job, Steph.
You're welcome.
You just look, you recognized and you seized that opportunity.
Yeah. We'd like to thank the original creator of that.
Whoever it is that we just butchered.
I couldn't remember which vegetable was first.
I have no idea. I don't know.
Is it beans or green beans?
Greens, beans, potatoes, tomatoes. There it is. Good job, Steph. That was perfect timing. All right, we're done.
Yes.
See you next week for 219.
See y'all.
And we'll give you another reason why you're not sharing the gospel.
Yes. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. See you later.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for joining us on the Messy Walk podcast with Pastor Adam Cook. Make sure to follow us for future episodes that will be posted regularly each Wednesday. Have a good day.